Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 200 of the Rusty Cool Gaming Podcast.
200, guys.
100.
We made it.
Not to be confused with episode 200. That would just be weird.
Guys, it's been six whole years. 6 years, yeah. 200 episodes. I'm sorry, blown away by that. Just
like all of what you're saying, though, in the context of knowing what Alex likes to do with big anniversaries, all of it just sounds like premonitions. And we were like, I'm blown away. And it was like, oh, that was foreshadowing. He was in bits by the end.
Oh, God.
I am very frightened. I am very frightened for this episode, for sure.
I refuse to be frightened. I'm excited. I'm happy.
I'm so excited I could be ripped to pieces by zombies.
God, what foreshadowing, such subtlety, such nuance. No one saw it coming.
Oh, gosh, my heart might just stop from all the excitement.
I love all of you, and I'm so happy I've got to do this with you all for this long. So there, not going to bring me down.
It has been pretty cool. Oh, yeah, pretty cool.
Speaking of bringing you down.
No!
So, you are currently, as a party, alone in an incredibly remote and forbidding landscape that you managed to skip past using a teleporter who is no longer here, with no way of being emergency rescued.
Yep.
surrounded effectively on all sides mm-hmm. by peculiar planar-esque zombies, mm-hmm. a new, very bony friend who wants to make your acquaintance on one side, an entire party of friends on the other side who have yet to notice you, but I'm sure will be equally eager to meet you. And as far as I'm aware, we are starting in combat, the best way to start a big episode.
No.
So before we go any further, does anyone have anything they want to say before things progress?
Bye.
It's been nice knowing you folks.
If Azu dies, I'm not that far away from you, Alex. I can come and yell outside your house.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time to get it to the point where you will all just say goodbye to the fandom on demand. It's taken a lot of training, but I'm glad that we got here. Excellent.
I will never say goodbye to the fans. As you might, but I won't.
With that in mind, then I am going to start with
Well, we didn't
Scrock.
Introduce ourselves and our characters because I interrupted.
Oh, yeah. We should probably do that. We should probably do that. Yeah, fine. Right.
And if you don't know that by now, go back to one.
Ben! No! Every episode could be someone's first. Who saw episode 200 and went, there, that's where I'll jump onto this long form.
It just feels like the emotional stakes won't really work if you're not, if you don't know who people are.
No, I'm doing this. Welcome, you listener. Welcome to this excellent adventure, which still has some go in it. There's still some life in this. Why don't we introduce ourselves to you, new listener, who has never met us before and has a very odd way of going about pod feeds.
Look,
well,
let's be honest.
I'm Alex. Hello, listener.
Yeah, for all the new listeners that just dealt with Magnus's End, yeah, he does play Martin in the other one. Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to tell you, it is Russical policy to end the podcast on episode 200, so this is the last episode of RPG. I don't know if we... Have we done a tweet about that? We should probably do some marketing around that.
It's fine. We're recording this prior to any social media fallout, so we've got to run up. It's fine. So anyway, hello, new listener. My name's Alex. So I'm this guy who sort of talks into a microphone for a living, and we play this game together. And there's some other people with me. So why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Ben, and taking part in wasting so much of the runtime of this episode on this extended bit.
Hi, I'm Bryn, and I think episode 200 deserves an extended runtime, so I don't care.
And you play Hammett.
Well, we didn't do...
Are we not doing characters?
So, new listener, I need you to know that we're not usually this kind of loose and free in our intros. We're actually quite skilled and have been doing this for a number of years. But what we thought we'd do as a celebration is throw that out of the window and basically just behave like we just started it.
What people don't tell you is that when you get to episode 200, it's just like... There's a Stack Overflow, it just resets the counter.
Yeah.
We just start off with absolute, like this, we're going to be as uncoordinated as we were in the first few episodes. You know, we're going to spend about 20 minutes trying to work out how we go through a hatch and up a ladder.
Speaking of, why don't you introduce yourself, mystery voice? No one knows who you are.
Oh, me, I'm Lydia. Hi.
Leaving.
Leaving me, Helen, and actually this is only my 115th episode. But
basically a fresh
I'm very glad
for
the rest of you. We shall not mention the other person, my nemesis, who was around for the episode 1 till 60-something. I don't know. I didn't listen.
That's you vanquish them in single combat, and therefore it's fine. And who is everyone playing, by the way, as I power towards a 10-minute intro?
Who cares? It's been like 8 minutes, yeah.
Hamid Salahurun Altahan.
Sell side bottom.
And Azu.
I am desperately curious as to what the editors allow to make through from that morass, from that just blob of intro. Yeah.
They're going to hate us for these two episodes. We're all just like off, just...
I don't know. It's been
constantly.
A month. We're all kind of weird and giddy.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We know
well
we're going to die.
We're meeting our traditions, which is approaching increasingly perilous situations ever more blasé until the hammer stroke falls. And then we're like, oh no, that's really bad.
Yeah. Ooh, who could have thought?
No, Alex, I'm always going to be blasé.
There was no warning for this.
Right. with that in mind, why don't we, you know, jump into this life or death combat that we're literally in the middle of?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what? If everyone's okay with that, I think I'm going to hand over to Scrock. Now, Scrock, new listener, is an NPC. So what that means...
Jesus Christ. Yeah, a non-player character. Okay, well, okay, sorry. We're playing Pathfinder First Edition by Paizo Publishing.
Playing is a construct in which...
Okay, so this is a podcast, and what a podcast is
an audio is sound waves.
Oh, I regret this. I regret this choice of intro.
This is your fault.
Yeah. I really oversold this bit, and now I'm committed. Bryn, save me. You're still in control of Scrock until such time as you forfeit that right.
Scrock steps through the door into the big zombie chamber.
Okay.
And rather than crawling and backing against the wall and crawling around it like everyone else, he has a climb speed equal to his normal movement speed and, like, advantage on climb checks and a ridiculously high climb score. And he's super invisible. He's going to climb up the wall above the level of the foliage and then start making his way around, like, halfway up the dome.
Can I get... You won't get halfway up the dome because the dome's very tall, but
sure.
If you can give me a stealth check, please. You are getting... horrendous bonuses.
The bonus is plus 20 while moving because of invisibility.
Oh my god.
So that is a score. I rolled an 11 on my die. So that is a total score of 57.
Goodness me. I didn't know numbers went that high.
I don't think it's physically possible for that horde to notice Scrock. Even if they knew Scrock was there and rolled... Yeah, that's... You're fine. Scrock is doing okay, so...
Imagine if Scrock is the only survivor.
Yeah.
Plausible.
I finally get everything I wanted since the start.
I forgot heroism. 59.
An RPG that only features me. 59. Oh, my God, Bryn. Okay, fine. Azu, you're up. Can you give me a number lower than 59, please? It's all
yes,
I ask.
Absolutely.
It's not a lot to ask, but I do ask it of you.
Right, I'm going to need you to walk me through what it means if Azu is going to try and walk stealthily to the rest of them, because I seem to recall that I can basically only move one square at a time.
Broadly speaking, that is correct, yes.
Ham is the same. If we're moving through this difficult terrain stealthily, we are restricted to moving one square at a time.
I'm not in the big room yet.
So you can move completely normally up until you see where the water starts in that big room, the large sort of, I forget what it was called, Industry of Genesis room. Once you enter that room and you're not wading through the water, it would count as difficult terrain. Also, I will repeat for everyone that the water in that room is much deeper than elsewhere in the complex.
Okay.
It's proper water.
Then I can only move one more square.
Yes, you can move to the entrance and then one square in. And as we've
that.
Established, your first square is free.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like this. This is the words of a marketing of an MLM person. Yeah. The first box is free.
The first square is free.
Do I need to roll a stealth check? Because I will be attempting.
No, because the first square's free. Like I said, you're fine. You get nice and deep in that room before we start thinking about that kind of nonsensical stuff. You're fine.
Okay. I guess I'm here.
Yes, you are. Excellent. Good. Good turn. I like that turn. In which case, bear with me as an enormous amount of stuff happens just elsewhere.
Cool.
This is not cool. It's not hot either.
Okay, cool. Invisible stuff has happened. Long story short, lots and lots of movement all around the area. What I would say is, are you deliberately trying to make that door not close behind you in the big domed room, given you're now all inside, or are you going to let it close behind you? It matters.
I think that's Azu's decision.
Yes, it is. Door open, door closed. It's perfectly counterweighted.
Is it possible to close the door silently?
Yeah, it's perfectly counterweighted. Very well made.
Yes, I close it.
Oh,
sorry,
Helen.
If we...
Oh,
no!
Oh, Helen. Okay, all right, you close the door. That's fine. I try and help you, but that's fine. You close the door. Cool. Sel, it's your turn. You're up in the room with the doors closed.
Sure. Cell is going to move, I suppose.
I believe, unless I'm mistaken, you don't have to be limited to one square per move action, because you're quite nippy.
Well, I mean, their move speed is 30.
So it'd be half that for difficult terrain and then half that again if you want to move quietly. Obviously, that brings it down to 7.5, which should lower it down to 5 feet. But
if you double move, you could get away with 3 squares rather than just 2. Mm.
That's exactly what I'm going to say, yeah.
Cool. Going to do that then.
Can I get a stealth check, please?
Yep. 18.
In that case, then, all of your new friends, they don't seem to be paying attention to you at all. That's not very polite.
It's almost disappointing.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do about that. Hamid, you're up.
I cast invisibility on Azu.
Cool, that has a verbal component, correct?
Yeah.
Can I please get a stealth check, same as Ben, so I have a kind of broad idea as to what I'm aiming for them to notice you.
Ooh, that's a bad roll.
Oh, no!
24 total.
You might be lucky. I also rolled dire. I think that's just about going to be enough, but I rolled poo-poo there. You got very lucky, but it's gone off.
And then I take a single 5-foot step, slowly and carefully, sticking to the wall.
Azu, congratulations. You're now invisible.
Right. So, Bryn, that gives me plus 20 to stealth, yes?
Yeah.
Cool.
In which case, then, Zolf, you're up.
Yeah, so I move 2 squares with a stealth check of 16.
16? Oh me, oh my.
It's about as good as I can do, so whatever.
Oh, it's very clear that all of your new friends are now aware there are people in the room. They start to sort of stir and start to sort of awaken. They weren't lay around, they were sort of stood, hunched over, but they all start to sort of turn and examine the side of the room which the rest of you are in.
Okay.
And as a result, I will now add them to the initiative order.
Okay.
It's all right.
Me and Ben are both measuring.
I've got to where I want to be. I'm good.
Okay, so with that complete, you have now made the acquaintance of a large number of undead friends. Just so you know.
Good for them.
They're at the bottom of the initiative order, unfortunately, because they are not quick. Meanwhile, oh, my favourite geezer.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah. There is the distinct sounds of column destruction happening on the far side of the doors that are now closed. I would say it is a lot quieter than you might have expected it to be coming through the doors. They seem to be doing a lot of noise absorbing, but even through that you hear the distinct sounds of
doom.
Renovation.
Okay.
Skrark, you are up.
Skrark continues crawling along the inside top of the dome.
Yep, Skrark has a few very specific skills of which this comes off on. I'm now no longer, however, going to require stealth checks because they're already aware there are people here. I might require a stealth check later for them to specifically discern Skrark. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But they're not really going to go off at this stage. It's not how they work. So, Azu, you are up. You are invisible. Zolf is not and has clearly made some new friends.
Well, are they you've kept saying they're aware there are people in the room. Have they specifically focused on Zolf and are moving towards him? Because the two are slightly different.
It is impossible to tell at this stage.
Yeah,
they seem to be lured to that side of the room is as much as you're going to get. It's hard to tell where something's looking when the perception doesn't seem to come from the eyes.
I've just had a thought.
Ooh, I like thoughts.
If I cast a spell while I'm invisible, is that going to make the invisible go off?
Only if it's an offensive spell.
Is channel positive energy?
You can either deal a bunch of damage to some stuff, in which case you're gonna stop being invisible, or you can heal your mates, in which case I'm going to rule that it wouldn't trigger it. I think there's a little ambiguity there, so it's kind of up to you if you want to do that.
Well, no one's hurt, really, are they?
No.
So...
No.
However, I think...
Which is why it makes no sense that you're all worried, by the way. Everyone's fine.
But I think it's more important that Azu stays invisible because... No, wait, but they know we're here. They know we're here.
They know someone's here.
The other option is that I cast prayer.
Goodness me, this is a lot of thought for 6 seconds. Make your decision, Helen. Make your decision, Helen. Helen, Helen.
I think you should cast prayer.
I think I might. I don't think it's an offensive spell.
Prayer is not.
It's a divine cast, and it's just like an effects thing, not a damage thing.
So for prayer, basically for anything that isn't actively hurting enemies, you aren't going to blow your invisibility.
She casts prayer.
So, why don't you describe prayer for us, because this has never come up before. What happens? What's it do? How does it sound? What's it look?
prayer is what it sounds like. Azu is going to ask Aphrodite, could you help us out here, please? And all allies within a 40-foot radius centered on me.
So that's all of you.
That's all of them. Will have special favor from Aphrodite, which gives them plus one to attack, weapon damage, saves, and skill checks.
Mm-hmm.
And all enemies within a 40-foot radius centered on me, which is all of the zombies, now have minus one to attack, weapon, saves, skill checks.
And that will include their ability to see us.
That is true. It's across everything because it's a luck one.
Yes, it's a luck bonus. So we all now have that.
Nice.
Are you now going to move, having done that?
Yes, but I can only move one square, right?
If you're being stealthy, yes.
Yep, I will move one square, and that's me done.
In which case, then, a bunch of things happen invisibly to you, because I've got my system working quite nicely here.
Don't like do, it. Do,
I do. Na, na,
na. I know you do. That's why I don't.
Okay, so you start hearing the pronounced sounds of combat outside this room.
Nice.
Very, very loud, even through the doorway. The distinct sound of someone taking chunks of building and using it to hit things with other chunks of building.
Oh,
it's,
God.
It's a whole cacophony happening on the other side of this door.
Good
with
stuff.
That in mind, Sel, you are up.
Beast morph. Just chugs their mutagen, and this is a situation in which one wants wings for 90 minutes or so.
That sounds good to me.
And also additional hit points, because that's a con swap.
I mean, if you want to be rubbish.
Rubbish. So at this stage, swapping charisma for con, so the way Beast Morph, you take a minus two penalty to some things and you get plus four bonus to other things. Minus two charisma, plus four con, so gets 20 additional hit points, which will be very handy. But while doing
this.
It super awkward, right, that actually on minus two charisma at this point. So it's just like super orcs, guys. Yeah, and because it's a beast morph archetype, you get to pick two things from beast shape one. Since we already have our dark vision goggles, super cool goggles, gonna say fly, because they always want their wings, and climb, I think. I don't think I want to swim in that water.
Sounds sensible.
And scent just doesn't seem like a great idea near lots of decomposing creatures. Just might be a bit overwhelming.
Understood. So you've used your standard action. Lydia, what
yep.
is next for you?
I think it's a movety move time.
You move, sure move, it's not a cheeky move. Surrender? Little cheeky surrender?
I think it's a move time. It's not, I don't think, a bomb time, because Cell doesn't want to start.
We
the...
can still be stealthy. It's not too late.
Yeah. Cell doesn't want to start anything. So let's get a measury thing. And so 30-foot fly, I assume, means I don't need to worry about the difficult terrain.
That's correct. You'll just be in the air.
Cool. So
if you're still moving stealthily, you may want to restrict it to 15.
I mean, they can't fly stealthily. I don't think flying slowly makes you more stealthy.
Technically, you can.
Yeah, rules as written, you can.
There'll be a couple of penalties kicking around, but it's technically possible. It's up to you.
So they could fly stealthily for 15 foot?
Yeah, according to the rules of the game.
Okay. Cool.
Is the difference between... I'm just going to have to demonstrate this visibly. Is the difference between... and... You know, there's a big difference.
Could you do that again for the benefit of the listeners?
It's a...
Right, yeah, cool. Yeah, we all understand what you mean by that.
See, now all the listeners
and
get
that
it.
As well. Thanks, that was very enlightening. Cool.
Thank you very much, right. Yes.
In which case, then, can you give me a stealth check, please?
Sure. 22.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, wait, 23, because of prayer.
Oh, well, that... you know what? It doesn't succeed. Never mind.
Oh, no.
Okay, in which case, then, Hamid, you are up.
Hamid takes a careful 5-foot step along the edge of the wall, moving slowly and stealthily, and then attempts to quietly cast greater invisibility on Zolf.
Give me the stealth check.
34.
Yeah, you can do it. I will be quite miffed if you manage to recover. I was not ready for that. Okay. Congratulations, Zolf. You now have greater invisibility, meaning you are both invisible and can punch people in the face and stay invisible.
Cool.
In which case, then, our new friends.
Oh.
Well, they saw someone who's now not there. And unlike the big construct friend, they work a little bit differently. So all of our new zombie friends immediately sort of swarm towards where they last saw people, climbing all over one another across the water rather than merely trying to, you know, swim or do anything else. They'll just get there by sheer force. Now, the odd thing here is that technically they aren't able to see both Zolf nor Hamid because of the stealth checks that have been involved. But the interesting thing here, the really, really interesting thing here, is about the mechanics that are called horde traits. Right. Now, horde traits are a very special type of mechanic that don't actually require you to see the people at all in order to go off. So with that in mind, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and check one thing, but I'm pretty certain that, weirdly enough, I think nothing happens at this point. So let me just check, make sure. No, I am wrong. In fact, when I say they do nothing, I mean they do everything. So what happens now is that by sheer force of bodies in that space rendering wildly at one another, they proceed to deal damage as if it was an attack by sheer amount of visceral bodies waving around wildly.
We still have a 2 differential from that because of prayer, so...
That is true.
And I'm just imagining, you know, like the inflatable wavy arm... creature that's outside of petrol stations in America.
Hopefully so they're all just... Yeah. They're blow-up zombies.
Yeah, their arms.
The odd thing is, they don't actually have to do an attack roll, so we'll just skip ahead to the damage. So first things first. Zolf and Hamid.
Yup.
Could you please take... Let me just get all of these lined up for the sake of speed. I'm very disappointed here.
Good.
Good.
That's unfortunate. So you take... Oh, that's irritating. You only take 17 damage each.
That's pathetic.
I am quite upset by that. Ben, you're right to get your digs in. Yeah, they deal 17 damage to both of you, which is actively distressing me. But I'm gonna move past that. That's fine. That's their turn. Zolf, you are up.
Destroy them, Ben.
Dear. Oh, yeah.
So let's just get my quick measuring tool out. Oh, look, that's all of them. Right, I wonder what their will save's like. Yeah, so will save 14 to half this, or I deal 5d6 in a 30-foot radius.
Yep, so roll your... what's the fort save, sorry? In fact, I think it's automatic because they're undead.
It's a will save, and it's 14.
14. Ah, no, they will get a go. They make it.
Oh, okay. That was actually kind of a crap roll as well. However, do they have any vulnerabilities to holy damage?
I am double-checking that right now, because it's either going to be a really bad day for me or completely fine.
Be a bad day.
Be a bad day.
It's a good day!
No!
I'll have half damage, please.
6 damage to all of them.
You know what's really distressing right here? This could have been an amazing out. Oh no, the zombies have almost killed Zolf and Hamid. Oh no, the horde has also exploded in a giant nova. Instead, basically nothing happens. I'm going to take a really anticlimactic episode 200 break there, and I'll figure out how to kill you after it.
Hey, everyone, we're still alive!
We're still alive! Now. We're still alive!
Yay! Yay! Yay!
Hello, everyone. Helen here, who you probably know from Rusty Quill's first podcast, Rusty Quill Gaming, or from our chat show, Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about Chapter and Multiverse, the new actual play podcast from Rusty Quill. Across each series of Chapter Multiverse, we'll be diving into multiple tabletop systems. No two series will ever be the same as we explore the city of Chapter across alternative universes. Chapter and Multiverse will feature a diverse rotating cast of performers. In our first series, GM Maddie Searle will be running a campaign of Masks: A New Generation, designed by Brendan Conway. She will be joined by Ahmed Aljabri, Laurie Ann Davis, Lydia Nicholas, and Pip Gladwin as intrepid young superheroes in the metropolis of Chapter, with Kareem Cronfley as the Eternal Tavern Keeper. Search for Chapter and Multiverse wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com for more information. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, welcome back. Now, it's okay. You may have dodged the first boss, and you may have failed to trigger a bunch of other stuff, and you may have so far managed to mitigate the second boss, but there's still a chance that I can hit you with it. So with that in mind, are you going to attempt to move, Zolf? Because you used your, but you didn't actually try and move.
Oh, God, no.
In which case, then... The sounds of pronounced death continue on the other side of the room. Just enormous swathes of death being dealt out en masse. Skrark is now up. I will point out Skrark is high enough above that even if the Horde was to occupy Skrark Square, technically they could not reach Skrark. Skrark? Skrark. They could not reach Skrark.
Skrark is going to take a move action, continue crawling around the edge of the dome, nice and high up, and is then just gonna... What has he got that he can just throw that will make a noise?
Ooh.
I don't think he actually has something useful.
He has a compass. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, cool. If he's got a compass, that'll work perfectly.
Yeah.
Skrark flings a compass across the room to make a noise on the other side from where it's surrounded all the party members.
The Horde, I'm afraid, seems not to hear
as
viciously feral as they are going. They're not actually able to hear it over that noise, I am afraid.
Yeah, makes sense.
Azu, you are up. Technically, you are facing a Horde that are not yet aware of you.
I think it's worth them becoming aware of me to deal potentially 3d6 damage. Personally.
It's your call.
And maybe it will mean that they move away from Hamid because I'm like lower than Hamid and Hamid is squishy.
It's your call.
I think I might do that because I can't cast prayer again.
Oh, did you minus one from the damage we took because of prayer, Alex?
Oh, is it applied to damage as well?
Yep.
Oh, minus one from the damage that you took.
And it probably, I think it would plus one to the channel positive energy as well.
It would, yeah.
Oh, shoot, you're right. So that's 7 hit points.
You are correct.
These little edges are important.
Yeah. It didn't affect the save, I'm afraid. They absolutely smashed that.
That's all good, all good.
All right, so channel positive energy affects 30 foot, and the zombies are exactly, all of them are exactly 30 foot away from her, so it's going to affect all of them.
Yeah, you'll catch him. Don't worry about that.
I'm so nervous about everything. Okay, so it'll be 3d6 plus 1 then.
And what's the save for half damage?
It's a will DC 16.
They fail.
Nice, nice.
All right then.
Yeah, Azu's actually charismatic, so that's better for this in itself.
I mean, I also have a history of rolling very badly.
Hang on.
Okay.
What was the DC?
16.
Oh, it's such a good day!
Are you factoring the minus 1 from prayer?
Yes! And I still just made it! What a good day!
I don't like this day. Bad day.
Terrible. Terrible, awful.
Half damage, please.
They take another 6 damage, all of them.
No. 6 or 7?
No, 6. I factored in the plus 1.
Okay.
Still, it's chipping them down, and they can't have that many hit points if Alex has put in that many of them.
I hope so.
Well, unless Alex just wanted to kill us completely, you know.
I mean,
There are the sounds of pronounced combat happening outside the door. I now feel safe to say, Helen, closing the door, a very, very, very good idea.
I'm very glad about that. Thank you very much, Alexander.
Excellent idea that has guaranteed that you don't all immediately get caught up. So well done.
Hooray.
Cell, you're up.
Cell flies, well, 15 foot up.
Yep, absolutely fine.
So that means their total move speed is 30. So I'm going to say 15 foot up and also one away, because I'm thinking if anyone decides to do a firebomb, Cell wants to be not there. And then they're going to throw some bombs.
Understood.
Going to throw two at 9 and 9 as my... Right, plus one. So 19.
That's a hit.
Cool. So that is 5d6 plus 7. I'm going to say frost damage. And of course, there's prayer. So plus one to that. Roll is 12. So 19 plus 1. So that's 20 frost damage. And then 12 splash damage, 13 with prayer on all the surrounding squares. So while it's a horde, I'm not sure how this works out. Technically, how it works is whatever is in 1 5-foot square is getting 20 damage, and then all the surrounding bits are getting 13.
Technically, it works a little differently. Hordes are quite odd, and they've deliberately been chosen by me because they're odd and you've not encountered stuff like them before.
Ooh.
In terms, though, of response, it seems a nice, potent hit, I'll give you that. Certainly deals a lot of damage. Chunks of zombie are going everywhere.
Yay!
However, I would say they don't seem to slow in the way that staggering would have done so. They mostly just seem keen to eat.
A shame, but I do get another bomb.
You do, so go, go. Give me your attack roll.
Well, cool. So my attack roll, 6 plus 9, is only 15. Oh, 16 with prayer.
Still a hit.
Yay!
Hordes are very good at many, many things. Not getting hit is not one of them.
Cool. So I will roll again. Ooh! That's a nice chunky roll.
Ooh.
So that is a roll of 20 across the 5 dice, plus 1 for prayer, plus 7 for the fact that they're the bomb.
So that's 28. All right, that's fine.
28. I'll use frost. Oh, and I should say as well, I have a sticky modifier, which means that the bombs are sticking to them and they get 12 damage to them next turn as well.
Nice.
Just to say
you're going to have to remind me of that plus 12.
That's fine, yep.
And so are you factoring in what splash damage they got as well for me, please?
Okay, let me give that to you again. 20 plus 7 plus 1. 28 damage plus 13 splash.
Thank you.
And then next turn there will be two sets of 12 damage done as well, because the sticky is just a modifier that is now on all of Cell's bombs. They don't
Good
activate
grief,
it.
Grief, Lydia. Good
Fantastic.
Grief.
Fantastic.
I'll admit, I did factor in the fact that you're going to be quite good against hordes, but good grief.
I don't know if that actually... Like, I have no idea, because you say hordes are odd, how much that actually works out as damage to the horde, because, of course, that sounds like a lot, but everyone else did, like, 6 or 7 damage to 30 creatures.
Now, here's the thing. I will skip to. You seem to have done a lot more damage...
Okay.
And I will leave it at that.
So it's
incredibly difficult to tell what's going on because of all of the like
they're
chaos
all bits. Cool. Do they seem colder at all? You know, it's frost damage.
No, not at all. Not at all. Are you able to do anything further to my
no
baby before you press on any more?
No. Cell is
God
hanging in the air, 5 foot away from Scrock, who is at the wall, so is 15 foot up in the air, hoping that that is too high for a zombie to reach.
Hamid, rescue me from this situation and please take an enormous amount
of
damage.
If you want to do horrible things to someone, Alex, then Hamid is the correct target right now, because oh my god, I'm so boned.
Currently, although you are taking vast amounts of damage from being amongst the horde, they are not apparently attacking you specifically. However, it's almost impossible to recognise that through the constant rending of your flesh.
I'm going to make a concentration check to attempt to cast without triggering an attack of opportunity. I don't know if this works. I'm not sure about the attack of opportunity rules in this situation, but I might as well try. I will That's also fine. Make a stealth roll to cast stealthily if you want me to.
So, I would first like the concentration check.
24.
Okay, you've made the concentration check. Can you give me the stealth check, please, to see if they start actively targeting you?
34.
You jammy! You
so jammy!
Jammy!
Yes, fine. They are not actively targeting you, and you've managed to get a spell off without them noticing you amongst the noise of their own chaos.
Spell I am casting is fly.
Unsurprisingly.
I then take a move action.
Yep.
I'm getting up and out of this.
I move up and slightly diagonally to try and get above the horde.
They don't get an attack of opportunity because you've made the stealth checks. You never revealed yourself to them.
Okay.
If you had...
This is good.
Unfortunately, you have played optimally. Congratulations, you are now flying above a horde who have not seemingly noticed you.
Okay.
The only one the horde are currently even... They're not aware of anyone, really.
Well, Azu is no longer invisible.
Mm. Oh, well, I suppose then Azu's the one who'll die, but yeah, same difference.
I have quite a lot of hit points, and so does Zolf, so me and Zolf are the best people to have
them
be aware of, really.
I've got loads of hit points left. We'll deal with them later. Let's go.
Yeah, I've got 83 hit points left, so...
In that case, then, congratulations, you are now out of immediate danger, Hamid.
Thanks the gods.
The horde, seeing Azu, surge forward.
Okay.
Immediately, everyone who is within that square who is not Hamid takes...
All right. Hit me.
Here we go.
Oh,
this is looking better.
Oh, no. I regret everything I just said.
Oh, and I can put you and your bloody wands! You and your bloody wands! Helen, just let it go off!
You...
This isn't even playing up for audience anymore. You have no idea how frustrating this is.
Oh, what's the damage?
You only take 22 damage because the thing didn't... Fine.
You take 22 damage. Everyone takes 22 damage. Fine.
No, Azu and Zolf take 22 damage, not everyone.
Yes, that's true. Sorry, yeah, fair point. Azu and Zolf, you take 22 damage.
Okay.
You have no idea how frustrated I am.
I've only got 54 hit points left.
Wah, wah, wah.
I always provoke him. He hasn't killed me yet.
I mean, he literally did kill you once, though.
Yes.
There was that one time that you very much
but that
died.
That was roll or die. Well, I don't count that.
I mean, technically, Ben, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If I keep hitting you, eventually it becomes roll or die. So
yeah,
you pretty
fine.
Much generated a trap for any, any situation.
Yeah, all right,
fine.
Do
fine,
it again.
You. Go on. You're up, Zolf. You're surrounded on all sides.
Cool. Channel positive energy. Hit 14. Will save.
They hit it.
Cool. So 16 halved, 8 damage, and then I activate my boots of levitation and go doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo 20 foot into the air.
That's not the phrase. Say the phrase.
You trigger an attack of opportunity.
I have greater invisibility.
Oh, you do! You do! Don't you?
I do.
Don't you, Ben! Don't you have greater invisibility, you!
I will refer the honourable gentleman to my previous statement.
I have nothing I can break, because it's all expensive.
Even if I die, it's totally worth it.
This is going to get bleeped so much this episode. This is so frustrating.
Thanks, Bryn. That's actually your victory.
Don't
That's
work
your victory,
together.
Bryn.
Why would you work together? God, that wasn't the plan. Fine. Fine. Fine.
Oh.
Fine. You hear the distinct sounds of even larger destruction on the other side of the door. Skrark, you are up.
Skrark is going to crawl around the edge of the wall all the way over to the door and then drop down to a floor level in front of the exit door.
I would allow Skrark, because it's object interaction, to open the door or attempt to.
Yeah, then they will open the door as well.
The door is opened. It is marked staff only, but it is very different in shape from the other staff only doors. This one is like a steel plated door that does have a handle. It is ajar as he reaches towards it. He is able to open it, revealing a large spiral staircase leading down, which seems to circle around a drainage point from this main pool. It is surprisingly ornate, given that it isn't public-facing the way the rest of the building has been. However, I believe that Scrock might get so far as, found some stairs!
Sure.
Azu, you're up. Play my game, Azu.
Right. This is a stupid question, but how many zombies are, like, in front of, like, am I looking 3 in the face or 10 in the face or...
All of them.
All of them are in front of me.
You want to know how a horde works? They're all in front of you.
I'm gonna channel positive energy again because these are zombies and undead.
Mm-hmm.
This works against undead, and there are too many for me to rely on cleave. Like, I'd already come to that conclusion because, like, I don't want to waste a whole round hitting one and then failing the next check to cleave. So, okay, so it's 3d6 plus 1 again.
Okie doke. And the DC for them to save is...
is a 16 will save.
They make their will save, again, by virtue of just chin numbers.
Bollocks to him.
Fair response.
Another 6 damage, unfortunately.
Ooh, this is getting bad for me. The horde is starting to look horrendous.
Okay.
Like, more of the horde is in bits than still going at this point.
Good.
But it's distributed surprisingly evenly amongst the horde. At this stage, I would say, even to any, like, to any of your eyes, they're on their last legs. Currently, they're like, did you ever see the World War Z thing where they're like, they move almost like a wave?
Yeah.
That's how it's behaving, but it's reaching the point where it's just sort of turning into constituent components by virtue of the sheer amount of damage that you're ploughing into that wave.
Okay.
With that in mind, then, more fighting happens on the other side of the door.
Okay.
Just non-stop. Cell, you are up.
They immediately take 24 damage, which is the consequence of the two bombs last turn being
and
sticky.
And with that, the horde breaks apart into constituent components. That is too much damage to pour into it.
Love
the horde
it.
Does not Love it. Cease to exist.
Oh.
That's okay.
What does that mean in practice? And remember... haven't actually taken any of my turn yet.
Nice.
Yeah, so 24 automatic damage is quite bad. The horde may lose cohesiveness, cease becoming a wave of pure death to anyone caught within its grasp, and become a few zombos.
It's more a speckling of death.
They are now speckled around the room, mostly sinking in the water, unable to swim, which doesn't help me. Your turn hasn't actually really started yet. No. So why don't you start your turn then? That's fine. But I'll say now, if a zombie appears to be in the water, it's not going anywhere. Let's leave it at that. That's fine.
Cool. In which case, Cell's going to get out the crossbow, because they're not really bunched much anymore, and is going to aim an arrow... if they're not moving, they get to shoot 3 arrows at attack bonus.
What's
knight.
The minimum damage those arrows can do? This will save me some time.
1d10 plus 1d6 electric, so...
Still worth rolling. Okay, worth rolling then.
Yeah. So attack bonus is 10 because of prayer due to 17.
Hit.
Then, so 7 force damage and 6 electric damage. Oh, wait, no. 8. What, if there's plus 1 prayer, where does it go?
It's attack and damage.
It's the whole attack, so would it be on the electric or the...
that
it really matters in this case, but...
That's a really good question.
Weapon damage, not cool. The bonus magic damage.
Okay. Yeah, because it's luck, so presumably luck primarily affects mundane, I'd say, unless said otherwise.
Cool,
so,
yeah, okay. So. Well then, 8 physical damage and 6 electric damage.
Pop, please tell me which one exploded.
That was the one closest.
Yes, you're correct. That was the one closest. Carry on.
Cool. So then... well, the ones in the water I'm not going to bother with. You say that they are stuck. Azu is absolutely capable of dealing with the one that is next to her. So, yeah, just going to shoot again at this one, which is another 17.
Hit.
Cool. Da-da-da. 9 damage physical plus 6 damage electric.
Good rolls.
Yeah, pop. To be clear, these don't have like a single hit point either, but you're just chewing through them. So which one just popped?
This one.
Understood. So you've taken out one of the ones that are on the island. Yep.
Yep. Just seemed like that might be closest to Skrark.
Yep.
And I do have another one, but this one almost never hits. So that is only a 13 to hit.
Hit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Zombies are rubbish.
Zombies, they're not great. They've got just enough hit points to still be worth running through because they could make a bad day, but...
That's 8 physical damage and 2 electric.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
8 plus 2?
Yeah.
Ha-ha!
I remind you, it is one of the ones in the water, Alex, so you've said they're already kind of useless.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, it's the one in the water.
It's this one, yeah.
Oh, no. What was the electric damage that you dealt?
Oh,
2. 2.
Good shout.
Oh,
is that like double or something?
So the electricity seems to course through all of the ones that are in the water.
Nice.
And so you didn't actually finish off the one you shot, but you did hurt all the others, which proceeds to go and then sink quicker because they can't swim.
Yeah, fair enough. I did a whole 2 damage to.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and save you. Like, there's no version they can get out of this situation. Like,
okay.
That finished. They could have swum. What you've effectively done is doomed all
very,
of those.
Very few things surprise Cell, but. They knew that wasn't their best shot, and so seeing them all like go down, bonk, 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 or rather zap, 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 that's a little like, well, that was cool, but I don't think I earned that. Okay, cool. Okay.
At this point, I have to ask,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much you can just clear out what's left in this room easily. Like, taking out the ones in the water has just done that. If anyone's going to double back through the big door, you're still in initiative. If everyone's just going to press on, I can drop you out of initiative at this point.
Yeah.
What Azul will do on her next turn is hit the one in front of her and then move very fast away from that door. Because it sounds awful behind that door.
In that case, everyone is out of initiative. And I will say, do not forget, just because the map is cleared up, this room is full. I mean, literally strewn end to end with bodies. It is like... You cannot see the water. It is absolutely full. Probably every single person from this complex is in this room, apart from the ones who you have seen so far. It is completely full, but...
Very nasty.
Yeah, I'm going to drop you out of initiative and say, okay. Fair play.
Is everyone okay?
Yep.
Yes, are you?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
I thought they grabbed me, but I managed to get away.
All right. You're okay.
There is still the sounds of ongoing combat on the other side of that door, though.
Yeah, we should move.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, you know, push anyone, but away sounds good.
Skrark, are you still?
Oh, yeah, Skrark is, yeah, that was...
Good.
Is it me, or is it every single time? It looks like this is going to be a really bad situation, and then we tend to just, you know, absolutely boss it.
Always seems to sort out, to be honest. Anyone need healing? Because we should move and go.
Right. Perhaps we should move first and then heal.
Yeah.
Can I take 10, Alex, to shove the nearest zombie into the water?
Easily. They're all... Yeah. No, don't
then, Azu does that and starts moving.
And I'm just, like, pushing it away like a sulky child.
Yeah, just swipes it with one massive arm.
I'd say splash, but they just kind of fall backwards onto the pile. Okay. Well, in that case, then... I kind of was ready for a death on that one. Didn't come off. That's fine. Congratulations.
You got so scared.
I was so scared.
I was terrified.
We did it.
You have made it through the second boss in the dungeon of 1,000 bosses.
Oh, so only 998 to go then.
I've got to call it there. As you stand amidst basically having destroyed an entire town's worth of people... And having successfully dodged your way out of dealing with an enormous death machine outside of this room, you can head down into the peculiarly ornate, desperately ominous spiral staircase leading down beneath the complex beneath the city beneath Svalbard.
All right then. Fine.
Cool. Congratulations to all of you. I shall up my game further.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. It's been a very pleasurable 200 episodes.
Six years
ago.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
No, don't do that. All right, it thinks they're all separate things. Yeah. So let's.
Uh-oh. Oh no! Oh no!
Our initiative tracker is shot.
editor, we're definitely in an edit right. As I delete like 70 different creatures.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.